You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, and we are back in 2025. A nice kind of, not an even number, but a, you know, it feels like an aerodynamic number, perhaps, or a weighted number, 2025. Sam, 2025, are you excited? Are you pumped? Are you ready to take on this bold new world and ready to kick some ass and have fun?
Have fun? Yeah, sure. I'm always there for fun. Well, I do think 2025 shall be better than 2024, so I'm just
I hope so.
I think a lot of people had bad 2024s, including myself, so yeah, we'll hope, we'll leave it there and be optimistic as a bunch of weird jaded punks. If not, then we're just going to be disappointed by December.
We'll see. We'll see about that. And more, 2025. Are you psyched? Are you juiced? Are you ready to whip some ass?
I am always ready to whip some ass. I hope. I hope it's better. I hope it's good. I hope, you know, we don't, there's not a bunch of bad shit going on.
Well, let's
fingers
all hope,
are crossed.
Let's all hope 2025 goes well. Sam, 2025 is off to a good start, at least. Tell us about this song you're going to debut on Friday.
You mean the day that this podcast might be out. Yeah. Indeed. So, basically, it is a shameless plug for some people that I find very interesting. My husband has been dragging me around up and down the East Coast for a better part of a couple years. And him and my best friend have been working on a project together with her husband and our other friend. So it's finally coming out. They Are Not Gorgeous. They can be found at We Are Not Gorgeous on Instagram. So we have the premiere of their first song out. And I'm super, super stoked about it. It's consumed my life for the better part of a while. So yeah, I hope you guys like it. They pretty much sound like, you know, stuff that I listen to, Kid Dynamite, Lifetime. So if there's any orcore left on this site, that is like frothing at the mouth for said material, then you definitely got it. They do have an entire album ready to go. So this is just a first taste, and the song is called So Far So Good.
Excited to hear it.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled that I get to bring this to the world as possibly a shameless plug for my husband, which also is, you know, he participates in Punk News Shenanigans, Chris. So yeah, I can't wait for you guys to hear it, or hear it right now, or whenever you're listening to this. Maybe you're listening to this on Saturday morning with your coffee. Yeah, so go check it out, you guys.
Well, that's very cool. That's We're Not Gorgeous, which features Chris B, the husband of Sammy B. And so that'll be cool. And with every beginning, there must be an ending. And more, Dominionated is now shutting down. What happened? Are you sad? What's the deal? And if the listeners don't know, Dominionated was a Canadian website that Em wrote for. And she also did a radio show over there, some other stuff. So what's the deal with Dominionated, Em? What's the deal?
Yes. Okay. So just to further the context of Dominionated, it started in 2016. And it was formed by Jim and Mackenzie. So Jim had a blog for 10 years, actually, before Dominionated started, called Quick Before It Melts. And that became one of his radio shows that was hosted on Dominionated. So this is just kind of like a continuation of that. And the whole goal of the site was to cover Canadian music, non-genre specific. So as long as you are living in Canada or hold Canadian citizenship, you are, you know, your music was covered or talked about or whatever, and it was kept afloat by volunteers and like Punk News, and just this really nice community. And one of the big things was trying to start conversations around like Canadian music, but have it be like productive conversations, where you're talking about not necessarily just the technical aspect of music, but also what are they getting across? What's it making you feel? Where is it coming from? Taking like maybe geography into consideration in some cases, like all of these things. So I like had read the site and listened to the shows and everything for quite a while. So the site did like reviews, features, interviews, and then had a select or a bunch of like radio shows and podcasts. And one of the podcasts was run by Weedy and Ouija, and it's called 20 or 20, where they got guests on and they'd ask them, it would either be they'd ask them 20 questions or the episode would be over in 20 minutes kind of thing. It was like whatever came first. And there are lots of cool insights and really interesting questions and guests and stuff. And the internet radio shows, like they were mostly kind of like genre specific. So there was Quick Before It Melts, there was Northern Refractions, which was ambient music mostly, obviously not all of it. And like Torch and Twang, which was like a country thing that Laura Stanley hosted. I brought mine to life in 2023. It was called The Reservoir after the pup song. So yeah. And obviously punk and metal and emo and all that good stuff. So I started volunteering for Dominionated in 2023, wrote for the site, wrote for the newsletter, met again so many incredible people, lots of people very passionate about what they do, what they write, what they create, and just so nice to be in that environment. Well, last year, Jim was announced he was gonna go on like a bit of a hiatus from the site. And there was the formation of the admin team. So I put out something asking if anyone wanted to become kind of more involved in the running of the site. So I put my name in for that, and so did Tia and Alyssa. So we banded together and kept the site afloat and made sure the newsletters were out on time. And, like we got everything together and wrote stuff and edited stuff. And I learned how to use WordPress, which is not easier than HTML. I prefer HTML because you can see what's going on, and WordPress is like, it's a mystery. But anyway, it was great to do that. And we took a break after the Dominionated Favorite 50, which is the big year-end list. So everybody contributes. There's a huge voting process that goes on to decide what goes on the list. So the three of us did a lot of work on that. And then Jim came in and did a lot of work on that as well. And obviously, like there were other contributors who wrote with it, and they did an amazing job. So after that, it's a holiday break and stuff. So getting stuff together for the next year, coming up with like ideas. I was working on like the new episode of The Reservoir. I was working on getting like some blurbs written up for the newsletter, like all this kind of stuff. And then on Monday, Jim announced that he would be closing the site, and ran the final post. So it was I was very surprised. I didn't expect it to end so abruptly. Obviously, all good things must come to an end. But I was just a little surprised at that. But the final post is it's kind of going out as the site when it came in to the world. It's a, excuse me, it's a review of a song that Jim wrote. And at the end of the review, he gets a little bit more kind of, or he gets a little bit more in depth with the site and the people involved and everything. So yeah, I'm very grateful to have been a part of it for the short time I was a part of it, and you know, meet all sorts of really, really cool people and be exposed to so many like great music genres that maybe I wouldn't listen to, you know, and from across, like, because one of the things that it was used was like so-called Canada, because obviously we're on Indigenous land and treaties and everything. So that was a big part of kind of acknowledgement with the site. And yeah, so I'll just kind of wrap this up by saying that I'll continue to do everything in my power to keep Canadian music conversations going, because while Canadian music is not a genre, it a lot of stuff can fall through the cracks. So it's good to shine a light on it and talk about it, especially because we don't have a lot of publications that focus solely on Canadian music. Dominionated was one of the few that did. So sucks that it's going, glad it existed. Dominionated is dead, long live Dominionated.
What's the reason to shut down, or you don't know?
That was Jim's decision to end the site.
But did he say why?
In the final post, he kind of gets into it a little bit. Just kind of saying that it became unsustainable, basically.
Oh, I see. All right, well, fair enough. Well, anyways, you can still catch M-More Punk News with her monthly radio program where she plays all the hottest tracks. M-More tells you what to listen to. So that's
hell yeah.
Cool. In other news, Punk Rock Bowling has announced its first club show. The first club show at Punk, and of course, Punk Rock Bowling, they have a lot, probably about 25 club shows throughout the weekend. A lot, frankly. The first one is Dillinger 4, Swingin' Utters, Dead to Me, and Billy Liar at The Substance, which is downtown Las Vegas, which I'm not sure if that's the place that's directly east of El Cortez, or if it's in like the complex where the Denny's is on Fremont Street. I think it's where the complex is, where the Denny's is on Fremont Street. I gotta say, man, like, I'm excited about Punk Rock Bowling. I'm excited for Flag. I'm excited for Surfboard. I'm excited for Damned.
Oh, wait, it's right by Denny's.
Oh, it is right. Is it in the complex, or is it like right next to Denny's? I think it's in the complex.
I think it's in the complex. I'm looking at maps.
Yeah, on Fremont Street, on the old strip, there's this complex where like the Denny's is, and that is actually, if you get married by Elvis, that's one of the places we get married by Elvis. And it is this. I told this before. I was actually at an Elvis wedding, which was a lot of fun, frankly.
Oh, nice.
But like there's this weird complex. It's so much bigger. It's something like out of Doctor Who. It's so much bigger inside than it is outside. Like, you look at it and it looks like it's like three stories, and it's just like, you know, three, but it goes back. It's this labyrinthine thing that goes back and toward, like, there's really like three venues in this structure, and they're actually kind of hard to find. That's where I saw Home, not in Substance, but in that structure, I saw Homefront, the last Punk Rock Bowling. So anyways, there's a new venue at Punk Rock. So the main Punk Rock Bowling club show venues are, let's see, there's Backstage Bar, there's the Fremont Country Club, which is the same as the Backstage Bar, there's Container Park, there's like two of the three places in the complex, there's the Citrus Deck, and I think I'm missing one or two other main ones, but those are the main ones. So the club shows Billy Liar, Dead to Me, Swingin' Utters, and Dillinger 4. I'm excited for Punk Rock Bowling, but I and a lot of the readers of Punk News were like, oh, I'm so excited, Dillinger 4 and Dead to Me and blah, blah. I'm not that blown away by this club show, and I gotta say, the Punk Rock Bowling lineup is cool, but I'm not like going crazy over it. Sam and M, how do you guys feel about the club show and the Punk Rock Bowling lineup as a whole right now?
Well, John, This might not be your jam, but this is definitely my jam and some of the other readers' jam. So yeah. Well, I remember going to punk rock bowling with you in
in New
Jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah, and you know it.
That was a fun day, Sam. Remember that was a fun day. Was it? It was tough
it
though.
It was a tough day, but it was very fun.
It was that was at Punk Rock Bowling Asbury Park, which was on a parking lot, and there was really like nowhere to sit down, and the only like shade was like inside the Stone Pony, which where you couldn't hear any music. So it was kind of actually rough. I mean, it was a fun day, and I had a fun time hanging out with Sam and Chris, but it was rough. I mean, it was rough out there in the sun.
Well, it's it is the home of Bruce Springsteen. It is also the home of what I like to think the Bouncing Souls. So I do frequent that place a little too much. So I'm kind of used to the needing to slather on SPF 50 like multiple times during the day and wearing multiple sun hats and or baseball caps just to make sure that my complexion does not turn lobster red the next day. So yeah, that was a thing. But I would have to say that specific punk rock bowling that we went to was a really good mix between John's taste in music and my taste in punk music.
Indeed.
So you know, this show specifically, the D4, Swing Utters, Dead to Me, Billy Liar, is definitely down my alley because I freaking love D4. We drove to DC to go see them, was it last month or 2 months ago? Yeah,
with
2 months
Black.
Ago. Yeah, with Planet Black, yeah. So, that makes sense. And the fact that they got Dead to Me to go come out from wherever they were hiding and it's Chicken and Jack, come on. That's like, you know, we've been waiting for this to happen for a really long time. Like my husband loves that to me. I've always enjoyed seeing them. Like I remember like cramming myself into a venue at Fest just to make sure that I'm like in there to watch them because we wanted to see them so bad. And Cuban Ballerina's amazing. But yes, so this might be not be John's jam, but definitely Sam's jam. But maybe
Sam
the
jam.
Next, yeah, maybe the next announcement is going to be a John thing.
1876 are cool. Sorry?
Yeah, no, I was going to segue to you.
Oh. 1876 are cool. I like them. And then like Swingin' Utters are fun. I don't know a lot. I've never listened to Dillinger Four. I just know stories about them and they seem like they would be an interesting band to see play.
They are definitely interesting band to see play. They are extremely fun and I'm always on the lookout for a removal of clothing.
Oh no. Everything's out.
Yeah. There was one time I saw them and the only thing hiding something was an instrument.
Oh, strategically
one,
placed.
Yeah, for well the instrument is low hanging enough, so it works.
Low hang. Sam, in the current era that we're in, where we're more aware of what's what I'm looking for. Well, actually, in the current era, we're juggling two things. One, we're juggling body positivity and, I guess, pro-sexuality. But on the other hand, we're more concerned than ever, and rightfully so, about consent and not being weird and creepy. Is full male nudeness in the live punk rock scene? Is that still yuck yuck fun, or is that yuck yuck gross, Sam?
Well, here's the thing. I do think that it depends on the band, and D4 has a reputation of, like, a long-standing reputation of odd things happening sometimes, or odd things being spewed out of someone's mouth, like, sometimes. So it's like, if you're a fan of D4, I think you're just used to it. So, like, You know, it's not necessarily I gave consent to see a half naked man on stage.
Sometimes
It's
it's a full
just,
naked man. Sometimes it's a full naked man.
sometimes it's totally a full naked man. But you know, it I think you walk into one of these shows going, it might happen. Okay, cool. You know, and you just deal with it because you're just like, you know, vibing to music or whatever. Yeah, I think it depends. Because there's also been times like in there was a show I went to in Philly a million years ago, and I don't even remember who the band was because it was like one of my husband's shows that like he played with his like old band or whatever. And one of the opening acts was like half naked. It was female, half naked, and like not really playing music. And I think it was more like an art experiment with music. So I was kind of like, what's going on here? And you're on like a bill with like punk bands. So I was like very confused by that. So like with that, I was like, I chose to leave because I was just like, okay, what is this? I'm very confused. I think if you like D4 already, you're already prepared mentally for this. If you don't like D4 and you're just walking in, I think his humor and or banter might just be like, okay, he's harmless.
Well, there you go. I gotta say, like, I'm excited for punk rock bowling, but I want to be more excited. I want something to really come along and really, blow my mind. And I mean, well, Flag is cool. I mean, Damned are awesome, but I'm gonna see Damned in Philadelphia like 2 weeks before that. And Surfboard's awesome, but I've seen Surfboard. Chuck DeCal, or no, was it Chuck DeCal? No, Descadena, in a recent interview with the Vinyl Guy podcast, said there's not going to be that many Flag shows, and they're probably not going to do a full-on tour because certain members don't want to tour at all anymore. And let's do the deduction here. Des says it's not me who doesn't want to tour at all, right? So it's either Keith, Stefan, Bill, or Chuck. But Descendants still tour a lot, right? So it can't be Stefan or Bill. And Circle Jerks have been touring like nonstop. So that's got to mean Chuck DeCaskey doesn't want to tour, right? And so I'm excited to see Flag because there's not going to be a whole lot of Flag shows, according to Dez, and that's probably true. But other than that, like, I don't know, man. I'm hoping something comes along and blows my mind. My mind isn't blown yet, aside from Flag, you know?
Yeah, there isn't too many people on this bill that I'm like, you know, I need to go there to see because, you know, my favorite band is on there and I see them all the time, apparently. I literally just saw the Bouncing Souls. You know, there's Angel Dust I've seen, Spiritual Cramp I've seen. I just saw someone. Oh, the Codefendants is re they're really, really fun. I've only seen them once, but yeah. But there's also like, you know, Frank Turner and stuff like that. Yeah. I just I is it, hold on. Hold up, John. Is it
Hold up.
because we're so old that we've gone to too many shows that this isn't like mind-blowing to us?
First of all, Sam, we are not old. Second of all, you and I have seen many, many shows, and that is a certain thing. Like if I'd never seen Peter Hook before, I'd be like, wow, Peter Hook doing all Joy Division. Wow. But I've seen that like 7 times, and I'm excited to see
Exactly.
it. I'm excited to see it, but I'm not like, like I said, I'll go. Well, I've seen two really mind, or maybe three mind, really mind-blowing punk rock bongs. Of course, there was the Flag, Sloppy Seconds, Coat Hanger, Damned show, which was in incredible. And then there was the Leftover Crack. I'm trying to think who else was there. Well, that's when my book came out, so I was like insanely jazzed on that, of course, you know. And so the one last year was cool. Actually, the one last year was really cool. Dwarves, Catbite, I can't remember who else was there. Devo. but I've seen Diva before. So Sam, there is something there. Here's the deal. Actually, I wanted to disagree with Sam, but I think I might mostly agree with Sam here because I was about to say, but that's because, Sam, we've seen all these bands before and they need to have a whole bunch of new bands. But the fact of the matter is that most of this bill is new bands. You know what I mean? To them.
Yeah. Like
Bad Nerves, Cockney Re- – well, they're an old band, but Youth Brigade is an old band too. Bridge City Sinners, Angel Dust, Spiritual Cramp, Co-Defendants, Kid Capici, Lambrini Girls, No Bro, Maid of Ace, Bad Waitress. These are all new bands, and to Punk Rock Bowling's credit, more than any other festival, they do a great job of mixing classics with newbies, which is, I think, the way to do it. So I guess there's very much something to what Sam's saying. I'm excited about Flag, but I've seen Flag. I'm excited about Peter Hook, but I've seen Peter Hook. I'm excited about The Damned, but I've seen The Damned. I'm excited about Gang of Four, but I've seen Gang of Four. And to Sam's credit is, what giant band or legendary band could they have that I haven't already seen, you know? And it's very few. Like Jello with the Melvins, I've seen them. I would lose my mind over that. Iggy Pop, I would lose my mind over that. But after that, it's getting shorter and shorter. Melvins, of course, I've seen Melvins a bunch of times, you know? But so there is something to that, Sam, in that we've seen a lot of these bands. And so maybe that's why it's not quite as amazing. I guess part of it, too, is I see Social Distortion at the top, who I can't stand. And Coxmar, who I like just fine, but to me is not a headliner. I mean, I realize they are a headliner, but not to me, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's important. Like we said in an earlier episode, if it was Peter Hook, Iggy Pop, and Coxmar, I'd be like losing my mind. But because it's Peter Hook, Coxmar, and Social D, I'm like, Social D. You know what I mean? Like, but oh, go ahead, Sam.
I just like to think that we're very privileged to have. True. I guess the time and space, like Punk Rock Bowling is also like a very family friendly place to bring kids. Apparently I've seen videos apparently.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So like, you know, this could also be like, you know, those parents that like, you know, don't go to a lot of shows like we do because one, they can't afford it, or two, like, you know, they don't have the time to be running out like at, you know, 6 o'clock to try to get to wherever the show is happening and abandoning their kids, you know, with a babysitter, like type of situation. So this might be like, you know, a good thing for them because they get to show their kids, you know, this is what mom and dad likes. This is the type of punk and, you know, whatever. So maybe it's super exciting for those types of people or just the people that, like, you know, don't go to shows, as many shows as me and you do. I do think that we go to too many shows and it's a good thing because, or a bad thing, I don't know. I've had these conversations with my husband about, you know, like there's these like white whale like bands like I've never seen before that I really, really want to see. That list is so short, dude. Okay, so this is very, very, very obscure to some people. This damn band, much the same. They are from, I think, Michigan or something like that. They're like melodic, like skate punk, super technical. I effing love this band so much, and they released a new album like a few years ago, like before the pandemic, I think, and I was super stoked about it, but they never play shows, and I think they're done again, so I'm never gonna see them ever again, or ever. I'm really sad. I almost literally flew to some weird place in Canada. Sorry, Em. It's far from good. It's farther than Montreal. So it's on that end. They were playing a show there or a festival there, and I was literally like, should I do this for my birthday or should I be a normal human being and celebrate with friends? Yeah.
And what band would get you to go to Punk Rock Bowling with this bill?
One that's on the bill?
No. Like they're going to announce a club show. What club show would get you to go to Punk Rock Bowling?
Got it. Okay.
And then I'll do one more punk rock boring question that we'll move along. I mean, I realize we're talking about punk rock boring like an insane amount, but that's because I'm into it, man. I'm into it. And also I'll point out that I was sort of weaseling for a press pass, which I might still.
Oh, yeah?
But at this point, I'm like, you know what, man? Maybe I'll just pay the 250 bucks and like have no responsibilities. You know what I mean? It's like, do I really want to do the extra effort for 250 bucks? You know, I don't know. Go ahead, Em.
If you can get a press pass, I mean, get a press pass.
Yeah, but then I got to do extra work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is a John problem to figure out.
Okay. Bands that would get me to club shows.
And if I get a press pass, then yes. I can't. I mean, like, let's say it sucks. If I get a press pass, I could go and say, it sucks. You know what I mean? But that's kind of not cool. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of not cool.
Yeah.
We always want to be honest at Punk News, but I guess you can be honest and you can be nicely honest, you know? But let's say I go and like really blows, like I don't think they will, but let's say they charge like $15 for water. If I didn't get a press pass, I could be like, this sucks, man, you scumbag, I hate them, you know? But then if I get a press pass, then it's kind of bullshit for me to totally trash them, you know?
Well, $15 for water is, you know, warranted for trashing.
Well, that's
exactly.
True.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not just like
life.
Although I will add that last year, punk rock bowling water was $2, extremely reasonable, or free if you wanted to use the giant water jug.
That is reasonable.
That is very good.
So, go ahead. And news. What club show would get you to go? I mean, I'm already going, but well, actually, yes. I'm going to give you a 2-for-1, or then we'll move along. And
okay,
what
let's
club
go.
Show would you get you to go? And then, Sam, I want you to think about the second part of this question. And what club show would get you to go? And who do you think the secret surprise club show is going to be? It's usually a band that's headlining, or if it's not a band that's headlining, you know, top three levels. Or yeah. It's like a spinoff. Like last year, Gorilla Biscuits played, and then the spinoff was Youth of Today, or I got, you know, it's basically the same band, but like a different name, you know?
Sure. Club show that would get me to go, I think Alice Bag, because I think in that environment, like, she'd just be like so sick. And I mean, if like it was her, No Bro, and Bad Waitress.
I actually think it's been the realm of possibility. She's played punk rock bowling before. She's played punk rock bowling before. I think that's actually a total possibility, frankly.
I hope so. That'd be so cool. Lambrini Girls would also fit in there. And then for the surprise, I am going to say Coxspire, just because it's their final appearance. I think they're going to be like everywhere.
I would say bad guess, because they usually don't do like the giant headline, the big headliners. But I think at Punk Rock Blowing, that is within the realm of possibility. So I would say good guess, Em.
Thank you.
Sam, how about you? What do you think? Who do you think the surprise club show is going to be?
I also thought the Cox Bars, because it's the last one. Yeah, like why not? But like, I also think that it would be like very specific. Possibly like the ask, like maybe one album, like their most loved album, like they only do, because you know, why would you go to a club show if it's just Coxborough and you're gonna see them anyways, you know? like things like that. Frank Turner was in a hardcore band.
And they're
that
gonna,
would
like,
probably
reunite.
Be fun. I would have to say, because I think his hardcore band played a few nights in Brooklyn, you know, many, many years ago. So that would check out, possibly.
I will say that one of the club shows will be Surfboard, but that could just be like a regular club show. That wouldn't be the surprise. You know what I mean? So I will say the surprise club show will be Interrupters. I would like it to be Flag or Damned. It might be Damned. I'll say Damned. Because Damned do club shows around the USA. So I will say Damned as the secret club show. I would like it to be Flag, but it won't be. So there we go. All right, let's move along. We're talking about punk rock bowling a lot. Here's another kind of shocking story. Not shocking, but here's an expected story. The Dead Boys have announced a new singer. It's a guy called Mark Thorne, who is in a band called Neon Animal from the UK. I never heard of him. I watched the video. He sounds kind of like Stiv. I'll give my reaction first. I think as far as a modern Dead Boy singer, he's just fine. He kind of sounds like Steve. He dresses like Steve. He's skinny like Steve. He kind of lurches around the stage like Steve. He's kind of a Steve semi-replica. So if that's what they want, I think they did a good job picking him. But as Em and I discussed in detail, I think it would have been much more interesting if Dead Boys had a radically different singer that maybe people knew, which to me would make it almost more legitimate. And that, like, no, we're not doing the exact thing that we did before. We're trying to be somewhat updated. Like I said, like having Danny Miller, which wouldn't happen, but having someone like Danny Miller as the singer of Dead Boys would be much more interesting than just some guy that's a lot like Steve. So I think this singer is fine. It doesn't make me excited to go see the Dead Boys. And I think I would have liked to see a more challenging choice. That being said, when it comes down to financials, maybe if they had a more challenging choice, then maybe ticket sales wouldn't be as good, because maybe people going to see the quote Dead Boys kind of want the exact product they're expecting and not something kind of interesting and new. So I would say for me, I would like to see a more daring choice, but maybe from a financial standpoint, this guy is suitable and he can go, you know, do karaoke versions of the Dead Boys. I don't know. Sam, M, what do you think? Do you even care?
Well, I don't listen to Dead Boys, so...
At all?
No, not at all. No.
Really?
Yeah, I would file this under the not caring, but thing it again, I know, you're like hyperventilating back there.
I love the first Dead Boys album, but I'm not like a Dead Boys maniac. They're not one of my favorite. I like them a lot. They're not one of my favorite bands. I actually think the first album is great, but it gets a little boring by the end because all the songs are exactly the same, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm also like reading that they have two albums in the works.
Yeah,
so well, how is that going to pan out here?
Not well. I'll tell you why. because I interviewed, what's his name, Cheetah Chrome, and he said one album isn't even really a Dead Boys album. And he does, and I was surprised he had this interview, which I thought was real cool. He said this is, he doesn't want to call it a Dead Boys album, but Cleopatra's making him call it a Dead Boys album. What it is, it's kind of like leftovers and other stuff that they're kind of stitching together to make a album of Cheetah Chrome and his friends. Then there's also going to be a new Dead Boys album with this new singer singing. So one is really a Cheetah Chrome album and his pals, and one is a quote new Dead Boys record.
Yeah, well, it's also plausible that they want the vocals to match as closely as possible so that, you know, you kind of like can't tell that there's a new singer. I don't know if that's like a tactic that people uses. You know, because there are a subset of people out there that's like, as soon as they get a new singer and it's like drastically different, they're like, ew, I don't like this anymore, you know? So I don't know if that's where they're going with this. I do find it quite interesting, but, you know, they will do them, I guess.
And what's your take?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. So I think that's probably what they were kind of aiming for. I am not familiar with Neon Animal. Just like the little snippet that I watch and listen to.
I don't think anybody is. I mean, I never heard of them. I think they're kind of like an unknown band, more or less, you know?
How old are they?
He's younger. Their first album came out like 2017. So he could be anywhere from like 20 to like 45.
Ah, fair enough. Okay. So does that mean Neon Animal is just not a thing anymore?
I guess so.
Apparently they're working on their third album.
Oh.
And they have 565 followers on Instagram.
Ooh.
All right. So in that case, I think it's cool that they're giving someone who might not be as well known a shot. Like, that's always fun and interesting. So we'll see how it all pans out. I hope it pans out well.
So, but are you interested in this, Em? Are you interested or do you not care?
Well, like we talked about like a couple weeks ago, I thought it was going to be, well, we both thought it was going to be kind of, it had potential to be this like kind of big, like, you know, you gasp and you're kind of taken aback and you're like, oh my God, like that's going to be so cool or whatever. And this, and again, I'm sure he's, you know, very good at what he does, but it doesn't, it's not that exciting.
Yeah, sadly it's not. But listen,
Yeah.
man, I wish him well. We'll see.
Same.
Here's something that is pretty exciting though. Brat has released a cover of Heart, and not only in if
Yes.
the people should they do a cover of Barracuda, and in this video they mimic the cover of Heart's album not Dream Annie, what's it called? Dream, it's called Dream? Dreamboat Annie. And so in the video they're reenacting the cover of Dreamboat Annie, which is pretty cool. And of course the singer of Brat, I don't know her name,
Liz.
Liz, she's got a crazy death metal growl. So it's kind of like hardcore with a death metal growl over top of it. You don't expect that voice to come out of her, and it's pretty wild. And I think this cover is interesting and clever, and I think the video is interesting and clever, and I think Brat is one of the more exciting new hardcore bands. And more, what's your take?
Oh, I love this. It was so good. Because before I listened to it, I'm just like, okay, you know, like Barracuda is going to be a great song for them to do because like it has that riff and you know all this and the like before Barracuda is like perfect. Oh my God, yeah, no, Liz's voice is like next level. It's so good. The video is really fun and she's also a plant at one point, like
Yes.
the sentient plant. The rest of the band's just like rocking out in the like the park and stuff, and there's all sorts of things happening. These guys like take acid and they're going all over at one point because Sammy Duet of Acid Bath and Goat Whore is featured on the track as a guest vocalist and a guest guitarist. So they like make a comment about him earlier in the video, and then at one point, they just open the door and he's standing in the doorway like shredding, and the fog machines going everywhere. So it's great. All of Brat's videos are so well done. When the video starts, they're watching their video for Hesitation Wound, which if you haven't watched it already, you should go check it out. They're like working in this restaurant and it's pretty good. It's very funny. So the way they did the cover is just so good because they made it all like this is how you do a cover, you know? The song is recognizable, but they made it their own and hell yeah. Sam, what did you think?
Okay, so the video is amazing. Okay,
Yes.
like the entire storyline of this with the acid and yes, all of the odd animals and talking plants and stuff. There's also animals in party hats, which
Yeah.
I love, by the way. I don't know why animals in party hats is a thing in my life. And a Teletubbies baby that appeared
Yeah.
somewhere. Yeah, there's just like a lot of like weird things that made this thing really creative. Her growl is great, by the way. Like yes, I didn't think that that was gonna come out of her, but I'm glad it did because it was really like, oh, we need more metal covers of like normal people songs. I'm just saying because like sometimes they're great and sometimes they're awful, and this one was a great one, so I'm into this.
Yeah, it's cool. Brad's
Yeah.
cool. So yeah.
So cool.
Here's something that's maybe a bit more challenging. Laibach have released a cover of Foreigners' "I Want to Know What Love Is," and they say "Listen Without Prejudice." And if the listeners don't know, I'm not exactly sure what Laibach is. Before listening to Laibach and hearing people talk about Laibach, I thought Laibach was like a super industrial band, kind of like Alien Sex Fiend or maybe even like Coil, like more like Coil, frankly. And then I heard Laibach, and while there is an industrial element, they also have this singer whose voice I just cannot get past. And he sings like this, and he talks like this. And I'm not sure if that's his real voice or it was like a put-on, and he sings like that in every single song. And on top of that, Laibach has some pretty heavy-duty songs, but they also have a lot of covers. They've got an entire album where they covered the Beatles. They covered Queen's One Vision. And they've got many, many covers, and they're kind of famous for their unusual covers. And so, of course, Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is considered one of the cheesiest 80s power ballads ever, you know. And so Laibach does it, and they do it pretty straight, except for with the guy with the growly voice. And actually, I'm going to pull up his name up because I should not just call him like the guy. We should say his name. But the point,
I think
being,
his name is Milan.
I think you're right. Actually. Okay, Sam, how did you know that?
Because I looked this up before we spoke because I was like, who is this person, and why do I need to know his name?
I thought Sam was gonna be like, John, I've been listening to Laibach for 25 years in my favorite band, you know. So, anyways, when Laibach's first big hit is a song called Life is Life, and it's kind of over the top and weird, and I kind of dug it. I'm like, wow, maybe Laibach is like a super weird, interesting band. And then I heard a whole bunch of other songs, and every song is this guy with his voice, and I just can't get past it. And I don't know if Laibach is supposed to be. And on Facebook, I said, is Laibach supposed to be funny? And no one could seem to answer. And one person
I didn't see that.
One guy put, in a matter of speaking, yes, which means he has no idea.
What?
You know what I mean? You know, like if someone says, John, are Dead Milkmen supposed to be funny? Yes, they have funny songs. John, is Jello supposed to be funny? Yes, he has funny songs. John, is Guar supposed to be funny? Yes. John, is Stevie Wonder supposed to be funny? Not really. You know what I mean? So, but like the guy with.
Wait, hold on, John. Are you trying to turn into an AI bot?
Why is that?
You're literally asking a lot of questions.
Oh. No, I'm just saying, I was so annoyed by this guy saying, in a manner of speaking, yes, which is him saying, I don't know. So thanks for the info, jackass. You know? So anyways, I don't know what to make of Laibach, and I don't know what to make of this cover. I don't know if it's celebrating the song or making fun of the song. And this guy's voice is just beyond ridiculous. I mean, do you guys agree that this guy's voice is beyond ridiculous?
Yeah. It's pretty great and ridiculous.
And he's been doing this for 40 years. So M and Sam, M, what do you make of this song? Like, what do we do with it? I don't know what to do with this song, M.
Oh, I had the same thing. I'm like, what's going on here? Are they making fun of it? Or are they, like, trying to do a really earnest cover? And then at the end, like, there's this whole, like, crowd participation bit. And then all the crowd's faces, like, get morphed into this giant collage of Donald Trump. And it's just like, I don't know what's happening anymore.
Well, it's like an acid dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you did, like, see, like, at the end, like, some people were, like, making out. They were, like, kissing each other and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, am I supposed to get romantic and emotional, like, after listening to this guy go, like, you know, like, super, super bassy and deep, like, really, like, one tone, single tone. There is no ups and downs there. Yeah, I kind of like chalk this up to the fact that they're like from Yugoslavia or something like that. You know, like Western Europe, because like they're really into like a lot of like industrial and weird stuff sometimes. So I was like, oh, okay, I guess this makes sense, right? Maybe.
Maybe? It doesn't make sense to me, Sam. I have no idea what's going on with this group. No idea.
Well, so I've traveled to Germany. I love Berlin so much. And like, you know, one of the things that I learned out there is literally, I was like, they're really, really into industrial stuff, like really, really into raves. And it's like, really, really interesting because like you'll go like down one block. There was one specific block that has like a bunch of venues. There'll be a freaking hardcore show happening. and then like industrial show happening across the street, and they're just like okay and commingling. So I'm like, this is just like life, you know? So I'm like, oh, okay, this I guess makes sense that they're really into that. And I've been finding myself like into like German bands sometimes because they're into like synth still and doom and gloom and metal still. So we're like, oh, okay, cool. But yeah, no, his voice is a little much. I do think that her voice, the female
Yeah.
vocals, did soften his doom and gloom. So that did work for me. But yeah, no, I'm not sure what happened in this video. There was also a weird video in the background with the hearts.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not sure if that is two cartoons fucking or if that is
Yeah.
two cartoons sitting on a bomb or something, a rocket, because I did see a rocket that says "Make Love Great Again" at some point.
It was a very phallic rocket.
Yes, it's a very phallic rocket, and there was actually like a rocket somewhere floating in the venue that said "Make Love Great Again." So I think it might be some kind of political response to maybe America. I don't know. We'll see. But
Well, if someone could explain Liebach to me, I would appreciate it, because I literally don't get it. Anyways,
The
so yeah.
email is podcast@punknews if you want to explain Liebach.
If you want to explain Liebach to us, because we don't get it. Yeah, so anyways, here's something I do get that I think is kind of cool. We'll just hit this quickly. Sex Pistols have announced two more live albums. They previously announced a live album, Live in USA 1978, which was their Georgia show. Well, now there's two more. There's one from a Dallas show and one from, oh, the Winterland Ballroom, which has actually previously been released. But maybe it'll be cleaned up a little bit. So it's just going to be some archival live Sex Pistols albums, which is great because there really aren't any really good quality live Sex Pistols records from their original run. So I'm psyched to get these. I will be buying these, and I'm psyched that Sex Pistols are releasing some live albums. Sam, I'm going to guess you don't care because you don't care about the Sex Pistols.
I'm not buying these, although I would have to say that it's very fitting that they did red, white, and blue for the albums. I also think that it is pretty fair in price, them charging $29.98 for each album if you just want that album. So I think that is very fair because I feel like they could probably jack up the price and still get people to buy it, like John.
They could. They could. They got me
yeah.
where they got me by the ball, Sam.
Exactly. But I do find it hilarious that it's like limit four per customer
Yeah,
because
right.
I'm like, wait, hold on. How am I going to be pressed if it's limit four per customer? I was like, is there going to be thousands and thousands of this? So does this like the rarity of it is not going to matter, you know? Yeah, I'm not buying this. I kind of feel like I kind of want to hear this version in comparison to like the original recordings to see how much better it is. Because in 1978, I cannot imagine the recording a live album thing being that great. Like, you know, I mean, clarity wise. So I don't know what magic or AI magic you have to throw on it to make it sound great again. Ha ha. But yeah. So yeah, John, when you get your copies, let us know how great it
Well, I'm literally buying mine right now through
is.
You Discover Music, and I'm using my $32 off coupon that I have, which is very fitting.
Ooh.
I
Nice.
got,
That's pretty much one for free.
yeah, so I am
Hey.
complete order. I just bought it. I will let you know on April 25 how this 3 CD set is. So that's cool. Let's see what else we got to talk about today. Oh, okay. So this is another brief story. Punk in the Park has announced a new, not installation, new segment. This one's going to be in Arizona at Chandler, Arizona, at the Wild Horse Pass Festival grounds. Bad Religion, Pennywise, Face to Face, Strung Out, Casualties, Adolescence, Guttermouth, Manic Hispanic, Catbite, Dwarf, Cigar, Last Gang, and Implants are playing. No real shockers there in that. Well, actually, I guess the only shocker there is really the only young band there is Catbite, which that's kind of weird, isn't it? There's only one young band there. That being said, these are the kind of, you know, kind of Epiphat, for the most part, it's kind of the Epiphat type bands that we see on these kind of festivals. The point being is Punk in the Park is now up to 7 or 8 installments, I think, at least 5.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is Punk in the Park the new Warped Tour, the new Punk Rock Bowling? Is this something that is going to be kind of a forever traveling thing that's going to be building up a big name? That's the question.
This is going to be the new Warped Tour, because Warped Tour was like, you know, a thing that traveled throughout the country. This seems to be very centralized in the West Coast still, you know, or the West of Western of whatever. Yeah. So it's like, you know, and it doesn't seem like it's like widespread as in it's a tour, right? It just looks like isolated dates here and there. I would have to say that they do cater to the Epiphat sound, which I'm all for, and this lineup is actually doing it for me. Although I will not be going to Arizona for this, because I don't want to go to Arizona anytime soon. But Bad Religion, Pennywise, Face to Face, Strung Out, like, come on, that's like a Sam, written Sam right there.
Sam Fest.
Yeah, Sam Fest. I would have to say this lineup is better than the two that they have in California right now, which I'm like, I don't know if it's because like most of these bands have played the California ones in the past already, and maybe that's why they're going in Arizona together or what, you know, not sure about that, but, yeah, like this. I don't think it's the new Warped Tour. Maybe it's a new Punk Rock Bowling. That could be possible, because Punk Rock Bowling is usually one location, maybe two, temporary two. So I guess we'll see, because I know that Punk in the Park is usually a SoCal thing. So like the Orange County, California one has been happening for years. I think they introduced the San Francisco one a few years ago or last year.
And there's a Florida one too.
Oh, why?
I think cause he's like trying to make it like a moving brand, if you will, and that, like, you know, Punk Rock Bowling, despite the fact they tried to do an Asbury Park installment, it's in one location. Riot Fest is in one location.
Yes.
I think he's trying to make it like a moving event, you know.
Well, I think it's a temporary moving thing. It's not like it's reoccurring in Florida right now, because it's not even listed.
I think it'll be back in Florida. I think he's kind of going off the NoFX final tour model, whereas like they just find like areas in near big cities and just throw it there, and it's not anchored to any one location. It's just a brand that's in different locations, if you will.
Well, the NoFX Final Tour was actually a tour.
It wasn't a tour, you're saying?
No, it was a tour.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is I think he's trying to make it. I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, Punk Rock Bowling, they can only do once per year because it's in one location. And, of course, each Punk Rock Bowling is a bigger scale than Punk in the Park. But I think his goal is to have Punk in the Parks throughout the year all over USA and maybe even beyond, you see.
Yeah, well, if that's the long-term goal, then, you know, it seems like every year they're testing the waters with a new location. So, you know, that's also very plausible.
And what do you think of Punk in the Park and their multiple location strategy? Do you care? Do you feel as though it has an identity, Sam? Does Punk in the Park have an identity? That's the question. And Sam, does Punk in the Park have an identity?
It kind of feels like Punk and Drublic, because they're doing like craft beer and stuff.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
But the poster for the Arizona one has a cow being abducted by aliens, and I think it's great. I really like the poster.
Oh, and the cow's eyes are redacted.
That is a good poster.
Which is like, why? It's a cow, but I guess, okay.
It's a famous cow.
Very famous.
No one can know.
And yeah, yeah.
No, go for it.
Yeah, no, I do think that this is a brand now. When this originally came out, I think it came out shortly after, or was announced shortly after the entire Punkin' Drawbook debacle thing. So I do think that there might be, I'm not sure who actually does the booking or the back end of the stuff, but
I know I exactly. It's a guy called Cameron, who used to help. I think he used to actually, oh no, you two are very insightful. Cameron used to help organize Punkin' Drawbook.
Oh, yeah, see,
that makes sense, doesn't it? That makes a hell of a lot of sense.
So,
God
yes.
Damn.
So basically, but I do think now, since it's like multiple installments and it's been happening, you know, for years, actually, it does have its like own identity now. Like, yes, there is that, you know, beer component of it, but there's actually a couple things that have beer components to it. Like, you know, even like on the East Coast, there's a couple things here. Was it Atlantic City has a beer fest that has like punk bands on it and stuff like that.
What was the one that fell apart? Remember, like Limp Bizkit was going to headline one and it totally fell apart. Do you remember that, Sam?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, like there was this
huge Sick New
huge...
World.
No, that's a different one.
Yeah,
Sick New World. You're right, Em. You're right. Sick New World fell apart, but there was also a Limp Bizkit one. No, Linkin Park was Sick New World. Limp Bizkit was the Atlantic City one.
Oh. It had the really weird poster.
Well, what? You know what? I would actually go see Limp Bizkit now, just for sheer shits and giggles.
Bamboozle Fest. It was Resurrection of Bamboozle Fest.
Oh, Bamboozle! Bamboozle's so great, though. I love Bamboozle.
Well, if you want to go see Sam and Papa Roach and Limp Bizkit in Atlantic City, there's your festival for you. So yeah. Anyways, let's see here. I guess we'll do one more story. M, tell us about pinball.
Yes. Well, John, thank you for sending me this story, first of all. So I don't remember what site it was on, but anyway, so I clicked the link you sent, and then I like looked into all of this. This is a like fucking insane pinball machine. There is a motion like activated dragon thing. It changes modes.
Who's on the pinball machine, Em?
Yes. So there's a whole story and a bunch of characters, and one of them is voiced by Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance, which is pretty
what?
Cool. And as we all know, from the I'm Not Okay video, beginning of the I'm Not Okay video, Gerard Way is a big D&D guy. He likes D&D. D&D is the thing. And his history with the game goes back like a long time. So it's really cool to see like that. That creative partnership there. And there's so many, oh yeah, there's also a gelatinous cube in this game.
Yes.
And it like stops your ball and it looks so cool. Okay. Other voice actors include Michael Dorn, who of course is
Worf.
Yeah. And he is the dragon.
That's cool.
So, and the dragon like spits balls at you and stuff. It's wild. And then they have like Kevin Smith's a part of it, and they have like people from like Critical Role and different things. They have someone from Metalpocalypse, like all these kinds of voice actors, which are cool. So the trailer for the game is like 6 minutes or something, and they show like little snippets of everybody recording except for Gerard Way. So it's just like, is this part done, or did you just not show it? You know, but anyway, it's There's so many modes on this thing. It's wild. I would like to play it. I think it looks like a lot of fun. But
Well, which
yeah.
version? Because apparently there is a limited edition one, a pro one. There's a lot.
There's so many.
Is this like the pinball machine, like the trading cards of pinball machines? Like you gotta catch them all, like Pokemon? Like what's going on here? And they're
Yeah.
big. It's a big machine.
How many like rooms would you need? You need like at least two dedicated pinball rooms to have space, like to play.
I don't know. Like I've gone to like pinball, like you know, like pinball places where there's just a whole bunch of pinball machines, and you know, yeah, they're pretty big. So if you live in an apartment in Brooklyn, you should probably not have one in here because it does take up a lot of space. But if you have a house with a basement or den that's like you know man cave, she cave, I don't know, cave. Then yeah, go right ahead. But I did find it fascinating that there's different variants of this thing. And essentially the machine is smart enough, like D&D, to pivot because of the
Yeah.
storylines. Because I'm like, wait, hold on. How is that possible that like the machine knows, and how does the pinball know that your story is pivoting? All of that is foreign language to me right now. I think we need to get
Yeah.
one in the hovercraft room. John, can
Yes.
you
Yes.
acquire one of these items for our hovercraft room?
Yeah, let's just write to the pinball company, say we need one for review, and maybe they'll ship us one and we can put it in the
Yeah.
hovercraft.
Yes. We need to find the email now.
Well, we have to just like, you know, not have it anywhere near our water cooler though, because, you
Oh,
know,
no.
we just will never get work done.
It's all day is pinball time.
Exactly.
Pinball rules. So yeah, this sounds exciting. Em and Sam, anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to cover for tonight's show? Such as the upcoming Liebach pinball machine that sings to you while you play pinball.
Does it sing to you or does it
Like
growl at
it
you?
growls at you.
It growls in a low bassy tone, right?
I
Or
want to
does it
know
just
what love is.
sing you like, oh my gosh, he needs to sing lullabies.
Yes.
That would be evil, actually, but okay, yeah.
yeah.
No,
Yep.
my final words are just listen to Not Gorgeous because I'm shamelessly plugging this band so hard. And that might be the last time you ever hear of the said band from my mouth.
You think we could somehow orchestrate a Not Gorgeous Liebach team up track? Do you think that is in the cards?
That we could try. I can definitely ask them. However, Not Gorgeous does play at a million miles per hour, so I don't think that is Liebach's speed.
True, true.
Yeah.
M, closing words on tonight's
Yes.
episode.
Closing words from tonight's episode. Let's see. Listen to some Canadian music. And yeah, that's about it. Don't keep your valuables in your vehicle.
And we will see you next week.